Are you seeking thrilling tales of adventure and superheroics? Do you crave the weekly drama of teenage hijinks and high school angst? Then don't miss the next issue of These Protean City Comics. This issue featuring...
It's Puck, the Doom Trickster. You're not going to remember me.
I'm Alina. The rest is need to know.
Windshear, full of hot air and out of time.
Now with our heroes assembled, let's turn the page on this issue of Protean City Comics.
This is Volume 10, Heroes Lost and Found. Issue 2, An End in Sight. On the cover, our heroes perch on the edge of an exaggeratedly tall building. Led by Windshear, striking a heroic pose, they look down on a man in purple, highlighted in the crowd below. The edges of the cover art is designed to look like it's begun to tear away.
When last we left our heroes, we saw them sprinting out the door and kind of in hot pursuit of Ramon Castillo, who has now put on his mask, and we recognize as some form of Windshear. It's definitely not the Windshear that we've seen, but his costume, his eyes, the artist paid special attention to drawing his eyes so that they would be recognizable. And we're pretty darn sure that that's Windshear. We just aren't sure how, right? And we have John and Alina running out of the doors of the bookshop. And what are you guys doing?
Hey, John, can you give me a boost?
You weren't so thrilled about that last time.
But it served its purpose. I just want to get up.
Sure. So John will grab her probably by the waist.
Yeah.
And just kind of like...
Like cheerleader toss.
Yeah, cheerleader straight toss up. Her up to the... John's on the football team. He knows how to throw someone up.
Yeah.
Like a cheerleader.
Football and cheerleading are two different sports. I don't know if you know.
But John spends a lot... He's the kicker, yeah. So he doesn't spend a lot of time on the field. He spends a lot of time on the benches.
Does
watching
he double
the
as
cheerleader.
A cheerleader? Okay,
no,
gotcha,
he just
gotcha.
Watches them.
He just watches.
Yeah. He's a teenage boy.
Of course. Did you need to?
No, I was going to say the same thing.
He's watching the watchers.
That he has to warm up before.
And
each
are you guys?
Kick, and that's about
are you
it.
Guys putting on your costume? Or no, we're staying as mundane.
I'm going to put on the mask in front of Ramon and say, "Hey, I think we might be able to help you."
And you land super gracefully on the top of the roof. You've been working on that. And you're totally in control of your telekinesis right now. And you land like super badass on the roof right in front of him and put your mask on. Yeah.
And Ramon he's in his full Windshear outfit, which is definitely the old style Windshear that we've seen in like really old comics, and they've really made sure in this latest issue to capture the very old feel. Like his belt is just like super clunky and impractical. It all just has a more refined and put together look than it should have for a 17-year-old kid that is theoretically making his own costume, because in the old comics it was put together. So he looks up and we just get a panel that like comes in real close on his eyes and they just like harden and he goes, no, listen, this is something going on in my city and you're coming in here and God, I shouldn't be talking to you. And we get like a little moment that it shows his hands are up. And there's just a little bit of wispiness around his hands for a moment. And then he just, like, very consciously puts them down.
It's like, you're already suited up. We're suited up? Is Puck on the roof already?
So there's probably another, in? Like, they have an exchange. And then Puck kind of, or John just kind of, like, jumps back and forth between the alleyway and gets himself up onto the top of the building. And he just, like, pulls the hood up over his head, which is, it probably was already. And he puts his hands in his pockets. He's not wearing his mask. And he's just like, look, Ramon, you're going to go do this. And
I am telling you, you say my name again, I am putting you down.
All right. You know what? You're right. We're sorry. Windshear, I think we can be of use to you.
How the hell do you know my name?
And as that happens, you see two figures running towards you, one much faster than the other. And the one is fully cloaked in white. And as she draws nearer to you, you kind of recognize her distinctive hair. It's definitely Phyllis, and she's in a white unitard with a big white cape and a white domino mask. And she's not going very fast, like pretty average human speed. And the person in front of her is like freaking flying. They get to you real quick. And it also looks quite a lot like Phyllis. The hair is a little different. The form is a little bit more masculine, but it's clear that they are maybe related. And he speeds right up to you and he gets right in front of Ramon and he puts his hands very gently, quickly on Ramon's shoulders and says, "Dude, it's okay. It's okay. Don't worry." And Ramon, you recognize this person as Phyllis's twin brother, Philip.
Yes, of course.
Yes. Philip has super speed and a great sense of humor. So he gets in front of you, and Phyllis and Philip have seen some of your rage before, and they also, you trust them. So yeah. He's physically putting himself between you and these other people and asking you to calm down, and Phyllis is trying to catch up.
And Ramon just kind of like puts his hands on Philip's shoulders and goes like, "All right, yeah, let's handle this." And he just gives sort of a nod to the two new supers and says, "You ready?"
And Philip is going to turn to you guys and go, "Hi, I'm Philip. That's my sister, Phyllis. I think you've already met."
"Yes. Yes, we have."
"Are you ever going to use your identity names?"
Phyllis runs up and she's like, "Hi, I'm the Nightingale." And it's like still very obvious since Phyllis, she's not great at that. But she goes by the Nightingale. When little backstory for our readers, and we get sort of a flashback panel, she operates a mobile clinic outside in alleys and at night. And she's basically helping the less fortunate to get medical access. She's also helping those who have been secretly heroing, aka people like Ramon, because she wants to make a difference. So she goes by the Nightingale. And Philip doesn't actually love his hero name, but it's just something that people have been calling him. He had always dreamed of being a doctor, but once Phyllis kind of took on that mantle and was so good at it, he kind of let that dream go. But he's pretty quick, so he goes by Stat.
Nice. From what we know, like, there's nothing that we have run into that would make him think that this is some alternate history or something like that. This is like believably based off of what John knows, this like text high school education level of history.
Absolutely. Okay. Yep, nothing weird.
Okay, then yep. John is not putting his mask on.
Awesome. Okay.
Don't want to appear twice.
Yep.
Also, don't want Windshear to remember him.
Oh, yes.
Oh, jeez. Because Alina is like a little bit nondescript, even with her mask on, but they're not a whole lot of heroes running around with playing Dr.
Hey,
Madison.
Yeah. I remember you from 60 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Stat and Nightingale get up to you guys and urge Windshear to calm your... your jam.
Yeah, he's calm. He's ready to go. He's like, there's definitely several panels that show him kind of like limbering up and getting ready. Like he's showing kind of not quite beacon levels of enthusiasm, but like the fact that he's got his mask on and he's ready to go and now we're standing here talking is clearly not going well with him.
Guys, let's go investigate. Just like we talked about. Not a great idea to be super out in the open.
So we get a panel that shows Windshear just like running and making a big jump across and looking very heroic and very in charge of things, and then just the blur of white coming by as Stat just is much faster than him and is going to get there way before he can.
Absolutely. And I forgot to mention, on Stat's white jumpsuit, there are like silver and gold flames on it.
Nice.
It's like legit. And then John Arcana and Nightingale are running behind. And you run across quite a few of them. And you start to see sort of a cluster of people on the ground, sort of down alongside one of the buildings. And by the time everybody kind of catches up together because Stat got way out ahead and he stops dead. And then Windshear's going to stop with him. And eventually everybody will kind of collect together at the end, at the edge of this building, looking down. So we're going to get reminder panels for the readers, a flashback to the last episode, reminding us what that guy looks like. Yeah. So he's wearing his lavender suit. And we get the zoom in on his watch, which now says 27. And on the next page, the reader flips over. You see that there are multiple places with this man in them. We get sort of a collection of panels. And there's like Shanghai, Berlin, Paris, London, New York, cool. Sydney. All these kind of iconic places. And you see the man in the same exact outfit, the same man with the same position, just standing out in front of these landmarks with his hands outstretched. And in each panel in the corner, there's a zoomed in focus on that watch, mm-hmm. which is now ticking to 29. 30. I feel like Alina wants to make a roll.
I do. I kind of want to be reading these files.
In lieu of reading the files, because this is somebody that's not been in your villain files, you're going to learn more by assessing the situation. Would you like to do that?
Yes.
Okay.
8.
Awesome. So on a 7 to 9, you ask 1. Take +1 while acting on the answers.
What here is the biggest threat?
This guy is a threat, for sure. But you don't know how yet. It seems ominous that he's just standing there. And you just get that sick pit of your stomach feeling that something is not right. And there's a lot of people really close to him, which is a little bit unnerving. So, yeah, you see this group of people, like, crowded around him.
Are they, like, normal town folk yeah. that just seem to be gravitating towards him?
They're trying to figure out who he is. The other thing that you know is that these are people that are not used to dealing with villains the way that Protean City is used to dealing with villains. They're okay. like, ooh, well-dressed man standing in the middle of town looking like he's going to give a speech or something. It's we don't know why.
People sound like bumpkins.
They are just not used to this.
They haven't known the horror.
The horror that is Protean City.
He's well-dressed. He doesn't look scary. He's not screaming. He doesn't look crazy. There's no reason for them to think that he's bad.
Is he dressed in, like, in era-appropriate clothes other than it being
no.
bright purple?
No, he's not.
Okay.
He's in a very modern, okay. chic three-piece suit.
Okay. So Ramon's going to look at the two of you and go, strangers come into town wearing strange clothes. He one of yours?
No.
Not mine.
Decidedly not.
All right, then let's handle this. Stat, you want to get us the perimeter?
Yeah, got it.
And let me get on in there.
So Stat,
either of you know how to throw a punch?
He punches.
Okay, let's go punch.
So Stat, like, runs and you see, like, this blur as he just, like, takes off. And the Nightingale sort of gracefully starts to climb down the side of the wall because she doesn't have any flight or hovering yeah. or anything. So she just starts climbing down. What do you guys do?
I think Ramon also, like, starts to, like, run to the side of the building and then turns backwards and looks at Alina and goes, and you do what you do. And then, like, just flings him, then, like, turns forward and just flings himself out into the air and, like, using air to try to, like, buffet his
And
fall.
We get this awesome, like, half-page panel of Windshear, like, jumping off the roof and being caught very heroically by this gust of air. Because this is the first, like, real big show of Windshear's powers that we've seen at this point. So we want to make sure it's super heroic and impressive looking.
Nice.
Yeah.
We'll get it looking pathetic soon.
John's going to walk over to the edge of the building and just kind of sit down on the edge of the building, looking over the street where this is happening.
But it's punching time.
I know.
John has gotten super emo. He's going to play a little My Chemical Romance and think about things.
Alina is going to climb. I assume there's maybe a fire escape. Mm-hmm. So she's climbing down the fire escape and swiftly pickpockets one of the men in the crowd who's just staring at the purple man and ducks into a clothing store because she has heard Ramon and doesn't want anybody to think she might be on his side. So she comes out and she's wearing a Kelly green poodle skirt.
Yes, she is. So she actually doesn't go all the way back out to the street. You're in the lobby. You've paid for your dress and you're just wearing it out. And you're feeling yourself. You're like looking in the mirror and you're like, I know we're like here doing stuff and we don't really know how we got here, but like, hey, I look pretty good. And the shopkeeper behind the desk has a very small, like super small screen, big box, small screen, black and white TV. We're talking like 5 inches. It's small, very grainy, black and white. But you hear a familiar sounding voice come over the TV, which kind of grabs your attention and turns to get you to look. So Striped Eagle original is on TV. And you see her iconic costume, and it's in black and white, but you can definitely tell that it's like got that red, white, and blue stripes, and she's got a big gold feathered mask on, and she's got beautiful long dark hair that's in braids, and she's got a huge cape and gloves, and like it's such a gold era costume, but it's also so iconic that you recognize it immediately, even though you've probably never seen it in reality before, right? Maybe in like a museum or a file. And she comes on the screen. You hear her giving like an address, an official address. I am working with High Shore Police to identify the man in question. For now, he seems to pose no danger to the city. If anyone has any information on this stranger, please notify my offices immediately. In the meantime, we assure you, you are in no danger and everything is fine in High Shore.
I had taken the mask off before I entered the store.
Yeah.
So I'm going to, again, just put it right back on. And
with the green dress.
With the green dress.
Love it.
Get the little cap sleeves and pull my hair back into a high ponytail. And I'm just going to start looking for Puck while keeping an eye on Purple Dude.
As you're walking down the street, you hear a familiar voice. Wow, Arcana.
Oh, no.
You slowly turn around because it's an unmistakable voice to you. And right there in the middle of the street, you see Fracture. And they just have like jaw hanging open. Eyes, if they could be heart emojis, they would be. And they are just in awe of how you look right now. They only ever really see Arcana in suit, right? In super mode. They haven't seen Arcana just looking gorge. So they're just like gaping at you.
Okay. So
they're in costume.
Yes.
They're in costume.
Yes. So yeah. Fracture is not, is. Feeling a lot of things right now as Alina and as Jess.
Fracture was last seen in Volume 2, Hallowed Eves. They have been established before as having a connection with Arcana of some kind, and we're still sort of evolving what that is.
It's, and maybe more importantly, an association with universes ending.
I mean, that's important also. Fracture tends to show up.
I was getting to that.
Yeah, Fracture tends to show up at weird times.
Fracture. Oh. I'm going to pull them into the nearest darkened corner. Maybe a doorway. I'm guessing that you're not using vacation time.
Yeah, you know, I'm really not sure still. I kind of just got here. Can you fill me in? You look great.
Thank you. And I fidget.
And as you're fidgeting, they're going to just grab your hands really tenderly and not let you fidget because you're perfect.
Sorry. It's just, it's been a while. John and I were pulled into this time, I'm guessing. It looks like Protean City, but before Protean City was Protean City. We were pulled in by a very, very weird portal. Nothing like I've ever seen before. And, well, I don't think it's a coincidence that we show up at the same time as this guy over here in the purple. He's, you know, not saying anything, just humming.
Did you say humming?
Yeah.
And purple?
Yeah.
Oh, no. That's not good. We should find... Who's here?
It's me and John and Windshear before...
Oh, great. It'll be kind of cool to see Ramon again.
You know Windshear?
Yeah. Didn't I give you that picture from prom?
Oh.
It's, you know what? It's fine. I see you lots of places and lots of times. I really don't remember which... You know how it works. Don't worry about it. But yeah, Ramon's cool.
Well, in my time, he tried to kill a whole bunch of people.
I know. And it gets complicated. But listen, we should find John and Ramon.
He was northwest corner building across the street.
And we get a panel.
Back at punching time.
We get a panel that kind of has them eye to eye in a very eerily similar way that she was with John just one episode ago in a closet. And they're just staring at each other and she's trying to, you know, be efficient and they're not trying to go anywhere quick because this is a good moment. And then we're going to swap. Where are you, Windshear?
So I came down in like the 3-point stance and got back up and I'm walking out into the middle of the square, just like getting through the crowd, using a little bit of pushing people aside if I need to. And just calling out, all right, this is handled. Everybody, if we could just have some air. And he gives like a big stunning grin. You know, he's having fun. He knows that he's coming in to be a superhero.
Because when he's in costume, he's on. Yeah,
he's on. And then he just turns to this guy and just starts walking straight up to him. And calls out, hey, can I have a word?
You call that to the man in lavender. Mm-hmm. He does not answer you or show any sign of hearing you at all.
Okay, so I'm walking. I'm just continuing. I think we just get a panel that shows Windshear just continuing to just walk straight up to him.
Cool. And John?
So that actually works really well because while Windshear is attempting to keep this guy's focus on him or get his attention, John is just going to make another little fairy. Summon it off of the ground or whatever he does. And he's going to huck it over, like up in the air, and just arc it so that it lands behind this guy.
Mm-hmm.
And he has instructed the fairy thing to get up behind the guy and try to climb up him and steal the watch. Like unclip the watch off and then bring it back to him.
Cool. I'm going to ask you to roll to unleash your powers.
All right. 13.
Nice.
Nice. So, yeah, that's going to happen. Your little fairy guy is going to crawl kind of perilously out on the arm with the watch on it and unclip the watch. So the readers see once the watch is kind of unclipped, there's nothing underneath it. Like where it should be like wrist or underarm or whatever. It's just the absence of anything. So you've...
Is there anything connecting his wrist or like his hand to his arm?
Not there.
Okay.
Not where the watch has been removed.
Does his hand fall off?
No.
Okay.
Awful tan lines.
Nope.
Yeah, terrible tan lines.
No, it's just emptiness. Like, as if you've removed a piece of him, and now mm-hmm. now it's just the absence of anything.
Okay.
It's like the lady with the ribbon.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so is the fairy able to bring the watch back to John?
Totally. Okay. Yeah.
John's going to grab it, look at it.
I think, because I'd like to pierce his mask.
The lavender guy?
Yes.
Oh, that's going to be great. Go ahead.
Okay. I'm very good at this. Good. My mundane is currently +3.
That makes sense.
All right. That is a 10.
All right. Great.
So on a 10 plus, I ask 3. I'm going to ask, what are you really planning?
He is planning to destroy this reality.
Okay. How could I get your character to not destroy this reality?
You can't.
Okay, so punch him. To
yeah.
So it's like, you know, that's
there's no talking to this person. There's no convincing him that this is not the way to do this. This guy fully intends on ending this reality.
And what do you want me to do?
Yeah.
And it might just be die.
It really doesn't matter what you do.
Okay.
So what I want you to do is kind of irrelevant, or what he wants you to do is irrelevant. It won't matter. He'd love you to just leave him alone and let him continue on
with
his work.
That's not going to happen.
Right, of course. So, yeah. Yes.
Okay. So I think we get a couple panels that show, because he's not even responding. He's not saying any words.
No, he's not. He's still humming.
Okay, so I think we get a couple of panels.
And he's humming so long and constant that it's like not that he's breathing.
Yeah.
It's like he's not breathing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'll make him not be breathing.
Yeah, you go.
Whoa.
So I think we get a couple shots of Cho Wynshear, like trying to talk to him and trying to get stuff out of him. And just looking into his eyes and like getting pretty close to him. How tall is this guy?
He's probably like 6 foot.
Okay, so yeah. Wynshear is shorter. He's like... He's 5'6", and he's not going to grow a whole lot more than that. But he gets right up to the guy and is like looking him right in the eyes. And we get a panel that he says, "You know, there's nothing behind those eyes. I can see you looking out at these people. I can see all these people looking at you, and you don't care that they're scared. And in this city, that's not how things work. In this city, you don't get to just scare people. You don't get to just convince them that you're going to hurt them. In this city, you answer to me. All right? So, get talking, or I'm moving you away from here. Hard."
And he does nothing.
And I punch him in the mouth.
Yeah, you do. Go to roll, directly engage a threat.
Was that panel the same face-to-face panel of Alina and Fracture?
Yeah,
and
yeah, it totally was. Yeah. Yeah. It was totally was. Yeah.
Ooh.
All right. Mm-hmm. That is a 9. Ooh, why didn't I put my +1 into danger? That's a 9.
That's a 9. Okay, on a 7 to 9, pick 1.
I am going to impress, surprise, or frighten the opposition.
Okay. So he sees you, and he sees you going to punch him. And you do indeed punch him, and he falls. And for the first moment, his humming stops. And he looks down into his wrist and realizes that his watch is gone. And he is going to look up at you in like mild confusion, but also like, oh, shit. And then he just dissipates.
He also can inflict a blow. Oh, I guess actually him dissipating might be him doing like his blows, because I didn't resist his blows.
Yeah, so I know. He's not going to hurt you physically. He's just going to dissipate.
Yeah. And so I think we get like the panel that shows Wynshear punching and having like the air fist around his fist.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was very dramatic.
And then just like jumping down onto the ground, like ready to like grab the
to
guy
fight, yeah.
And go like, all right, we're getting out of here. Mm-hmm. And then just going through air and sitting back and going, guess I really got him.
Did the watch disappear?
You have the watch.
Okay, so it didn't disappear when the rest of the guy.
No,
disappeared.
It's still, and you can nice. See the ticking is going up. It is now at 46.
Oh no.
And just about now, everybody's sort of kind of coming in on each other. We see Arcana and Fracture running towards where you guys are, and Nightingale runs straight for Wynshear just to check and make sure that he's okay, because he has a habit of not being okay. And Stat is running less quickly than he usually does, and next to him is Striped Eagle, and they come up pretty close to you. And Nightingale kind of rolls her eyes like really dramatic teenager like to Stat, and she's like, "You called mom?" And Striped Eagle is like, "I don't think we've had the pleasure. I'm Striped Eagle. Who are you two?" She definitely knows Windshear.
Windshear.
Yeah. She's not a huge fan of his vigilanteism, but she knows that he is friends with Phyllis and Philip, and there are worse friends for them to have. Yeah. Who are you two?
Yes. I'm Alina, and this is Fracture.
Hi, I'm Fracture. I'm
Arcana. Arcana.
She's Arcana. I'm Fracture. It's really lovely to meet you. It's an honor. And she's like, well, I assume if you're here with Nightingale and Windshear, that you're all here for the same reason. Does anyone know anything about this man?
Well, I don't know anything, but I'm going to guess that that punch didn't solve our problem. Fracture?
Yeah. Hi. Yeah, I'm Fracture. Well, first I'd like to draw your attention over there. And they just kind of point over it like maybe 100 feet away. It's not that far, but everybody's so busy over here that nobody noticed. The guy showed up about 100 feet away in the same stance with the same humming, exactly the same as if he had never been punched, with the same, he has a watch.
Windshear is charging.
He's already charging?
At the moment that he saw the guy's face.
Okay,
he's
roll to
charging right at that guy.
Directly engage a threat.
Unless anyone like Buck could stop, I mean John could stop me in my tracks right there, but
no, he's watching. He's yeah. watching and making sure that you're okay, but he's not.
That is a 8.
7 to 9.
So I'm going to say something and you can tell me if the way I'm saying it doesn't work.
Okay.
I'm going to take something from them.
Okay.
I'm going to take their ability to get away from me right now. I'm going to take away their escape route.
Okay. Take so, it yeah. away. Go ahead.
So that's what I'm doing. So yeah. I'm taking his escape route. I run forward and like just make eye contact and I go, all right, round two, and jump on him and just immediately grab onto his suit with one hand and wrap my arm around him and just grab onto his hair with the other and just slam my forehead into his face. And just like hold him there, and just the air around me starts to, the air around the two of us starts to harden. And I'm just like keeping him there with me. I'm guessing there's probably like some dissipation, and then like the dissipation
yeah,
stopping.
Yeah, he's trying to escape in that way, but your control of the air keeps his particles and keeps him stationary
yeah.
In a way that he's not been confronted with before. And you're holding him, and it's clear that you've got him trapped. And he says, it doesn't matter. It's all underway. The end is near.
So I also did not resist or avoid blows. Is that his...
He will not hit you.
Okay, so then that might be the fact, because like I think I'm continuing to just... do whatever hits
you can.
I can
keep hitting
and, like,
him.
Continuing
yep,
to hit
yep,
him.
Yep, yep, yep.
But like he's speaking with, I think maybe that assuredness might be enough for me to be taking a powerful blow.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Because that yeah. That would freak anybody out.
Yeah. yeah.
You're just beating the just crap beating out of somebody.
Yeah. He's not and fighting he's, back.
And yeah. he doesn't seem to be affected.
Yep.
Yeah.
Like his,
sure, go ahead.
I'm assuming his like face isn't getting bruised up or.
I mean, he's not bleeding, but it's clear that he's being injured for okay. sure.
For on a miss, I stand strong, mark potential as normal, and say how you weathered the blow. So he says that, and I like, and Windshear like lets out a little laugh and goes like, "People have been telling me what's gonna happen. No one seems to really have a good handle on it. I'm stopping you. This doesn't happen." And another just like headbutt to the face.
Yep, and his head flies back like in a whiplash style, like your headbutt. You are definitely overpowering him in the combat department right now, but he also isn't trying to fight back.
Yeah.
And he just picks his head up slowly. And, you know, there's that moment where you're looking to say, see if he'll say, like, I've had enough, mm-hmm. uncle, stop.
Yeah.
And he doesn't, but instead he picks his head up and says, the end is near. Super calmly.
Yeah.
Over in the group huddle, which
the non-beating the tar out of someone for no reason.
Windshear so. Just ran away from. Fracture is explaining to the group. So I've seen him once before, and it didn't end well. And I'm here to tell you it's not going to end well this time either. There is actually no way to combat this. And if I'm here, it means it's already reached a point past any involvement. This is the end.
Well, that's certainly cheery.
No, I mean that I wasn't clear. That guy is the end. That's his name, is the end. And it's not just him. There's a lot of him. And so then we kind of get a zoomed out, and you turn the page, and it's a two-page spread of, like, clusters of panels. And you see more and more and more of this guy, and more and more and more of these watches. And it starts to dawn on everybody that's reading that these things are happening simultaneously. It's not a past when this guy was in all these locations. It's now. There are now hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of this guy in the world. And you're starting to figure out that that's the problem, that there's so many of them.
Going to be one less of them soon.
And Puck's still holding the watch up on the roof, I assume.
Yeah.
And it's still ticking. Mm-hmm. Right now it's at like 60.
Okay.
And it's starting to, you've been holding it a while.
Mm-hmm.
It's starting to tick up a little faster than it had been before. It's not solid increments. Yeah. It's getting a little speedy.
Is it humming the way that the guy was humming?
No.
Okay. So I think what Puck wants to do, or what I want to do now, I think what I want to do now is sort of like John is watching Windshear fight this guy, and seeing that he saw the first interaction where he punched the guy and he evaporated and then he appeared again. And like Puck saw him probably even before Fracture did, because Puck is John saw him even before Fracture did, because John is watching the road and he's seeing Windshear now fight, and it's not really doing much. And so I want to assess the situation, and look at the watch and like look at the guy and try to figure out what I think, because I don't know what's going on with this other conversation, because I can't hear them. But I just want to see if I can figure out what I think I could do to help Windshear. 6, 7, 8. All right, so that was an 8, so I get to ask one question.
Mm-hmm.
What here can I use to stop this person from doing whatever they're trying to do?
There is nothing that any hero of this time or otherwise can do to stop this.
Okay.
The most that you can do is make sure that you, the people you care about, and as many innocents as possible escape.
Okay. John has a moment where he's just looking at this watch and it's just counting up faster and faster and faster.
And I think John also knows a doom when he sees one.
Yeah.
We're going to jump back down, and John is having all these inner monologues with himself, with pictures, and he's kind of thinking about the things that he does know. He's thinking about how he saw this guy dissipate. And Windshear is still holding on to this guy, right?
Yeah. And like, I think we get a couple of like a panel of Windshear just like, like in, kind of held in this little air prison that he's made, and just like getting in strikes, and then like grabbing on and going, all right, got something to say now?
This is the end.
All right. And then going back in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're going to have a panel of like the fury punching of Windshear, like the blurred fists, and like you're going to exhaust yourself doing that.
Yeah, I was
going
to say, he's probably getting pretty tired. Yeah. He can't keep this up as long as this guy can keep taking the hits.
And while we see that, right next to it, we get the panel of the group, and Fracture saying, guys, I need you to just focus a minute. And Miss Striped Eagle, ma'am, I hate to take the reins here, but I have seen him before. And she says, no, I'm open to suggestion. And Fracture turns to you, Arcana, and says, we need to get you out because you don't belong here. We need to get John out because he doesn't belong here. Is there anyone else that you brought with you?
No. But if we leave, doesn't that mean we won't exist?
God, time travel sucks. We get a panel of all of the, or a bunch of watches, and we're now at, in the mid to late 70s. It's like 76, 77. They look at you and they say, let me explain. And as we have the captions of Fracture explaining how this all kind of works, we're going to have like a flashback of when it's happened before. So we're going to get full color pictures of what has happened the last time the End showed up. The End is a multiple person entity, a hive mind, if you will. There are many, many, many of this man in Lavender, and he begins to show up and starts poisoning the atmosphere. He's made of a caustic gas that he will leak into the atmosphere for days, weeks, months, as long as it takes until the entire atmosphere is fully saturated. And then he ignites it, but it doesn't just end the planet that he's filled. It ends its entire reality. There is nothing at this point that we can do to stop him. But you can't be here when it goes down. And I suggest that we get anybody that we can out.
I think we then, like, after that explanation, we get, like, a panel that just, like, kind of has him, like, thumping the guy down and just, like, rolling back onto his back and just, like, looking up at the sky, breathing heavily.
Mm-hmm.
Just, like, lying next to him on the street.
Catching your breath.
Yeah. And just to kind of, like, that thud kind of, like, punctuates the finality of it.
And as Fracture's finishing their kind of description, you guys start to see, and the comic readers start to see, almost like the periphery of your vision starts to get sparkly and white and starts to kind of pull apart as if it were like string sugar or something. And you see it sort of pulling. And it's not a ton. It's so much, so light that you think maybe I have sleep in my eyes, or maybe I stood up too fast, or, you know, it's that kind of vision game that your eyes are playing on you and nobody says it to each other, but you all experience it.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Probably for Alina.
Mm-hmm.
How do I know about Fracture? Like, would you guys have told us?
I think Sisterhood protects the confidentiality of
Penance any definitely didn't future. Tell John.
So I don't know who this person is, who Alina is talking to.
Mm-mm.
Okay.
It's just some...
But they're holding hands.
Yeah. Makes me uncomfortable.
So, I mean, I would like to maybe assess the situation.
Cool.
8. And then... Oh, yeah, it's a wash because I'm +2 and guilty.
Mm. So it's at 8?
Yes.
So on a 7 to 9, you ask 1.
What here can I use to get us out of here?
So you have 2 options. Puck could choose to portal you all back.
Like the entire world?
Whoever he wants. I know he has rules about portals and letting people go through them, but that is an option. The second option is when the reality begins to tear, which is sort of what you're experiencing the starting stages of. You can escape with Fracture. You run through the gap as it's beginning to tear. That's how Fracture always gets out before the entire world collapses around them. So you can stick by them and try to make it through the same tear as them. A couple of people should be fine. The whole world will not make it through in time. There are multiple tears, but it's risky, and your best option is to stick close to Fracture and run when they tell you to.
Okay.
So John is going to jump off the roof.
Yeah.
And just kind of like casually land whatever 3 stories or whatever it was. Probably still with his hands in his pockets. And he's gonna walk over to the group. Hey, Arcana, what's going on?
Hi, I'm Fracture. They like extend their hand to you, like to shake it.
And John's just gonna look at them and be like, "Hi."
Listen, John, this is not looking good. John, this is Fracture. They're the person I met when we went to the alternate universe with Death Shroud.
they're good people. And unfortunately, they don't really come bearing the greatest news. We're going to have to get out of here and quick.
Nice to meet you. Again?
Yeah. Again?
It's a long story.
Yeah, Fractures kind of met us before. Or after? I don't...
It's confusing. Really, we don't have a ton of time. And we get a panel of the watch in John's hand. It's now at 86.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this watch is not slowing. It's getting faster. And I don't think that's a good thing.
I think at this point we get... Windshear has stood up. Did the man disappear when the...
Yeah, as soon as you let go of him, he disappeared.
Is there another of him?
Yeah, there is.
Because Windshear at this point sees that you all are talking. He figures that if you all are talking, you have an idea of what's going on.
Uh-huh.
And I'd like to try to basically try to pull the same trick, but instead of fighting him, kind of getting a collar on him and pulling him up to talk to the group.
We get this really great panel of everybody in a cluster except Windshear, who is like comedically running back and forth behind the whole group trying to grab hold of air, like trying to grab this guy, and then you kind of pin him down.
Yeah, I want to just bring him over and like have him in like a lock with holding onto his head and air around us. I might need to actually roll to unleash powers for this because I don't know. Walking while holding a prison around us might be a little tough.
Oh, okay. You're doing all of it at the same time.
Because I'm dragging him over.
Then yes.
That is a 9 minus 1.
So that's an 8.
So 8. I'm going to mark a condition to make it more permanent.
Okay.
I'm going to mark angry and just like drag him over and nod at the heroes that I know and nod at Fracture because Fracture's in a hero suit,
mm-hmm.
and say, all right, I got him. What do we need to do so that we get some answers out of this asshole or toss him in a cell or something?
I'm just going to lean over to Fracture and just, is that wise?
It really doesn't matter.
And then I think we get like a little panel that like implies that we've brought Windshear up to speed in some way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then asking, and so if I bring him through, if someone brings him through, can you toss him in a jail for world genocide?
This
is ridiculous.
I would not bring him through. You don't want him entering any dimension with you.
And so he just like drops the guy and drops the shield.
Yeah.
And says, how much time have I got?
And we look at the watch and it said at 90. So you've got about 5 minutes. And Striped Eagle says to her kids, kids, run up everybody that you can. Start explaining about the terrors in the reality. We're going to do our absolute best to make sure that we can get as many people out as we can. We don't have long.
And Windshear is running to get to his house.
Mm-hmm. So how far away do you live?
How far away was the bookstore from where we are?
Like 4 blocks, not far.
Okay, then about that far.
Okay.
They're like the whole family has kind of found places near each other.
Awesome. So we get this panel of Windshear running up the block towards like an apartment complex, and we see the door. He like throws the door open as fast as he can, and you run up the stairs, throw the door open, and Raquel and Nacho aren't there.
Is there any sort of like note or anything like that? Like he definitely would like check to see like, you know.
Yeah.
Age before cell phones.
Right. Yeah,
probably leaving notes would be not abnormal.
She left a note like on the fridge that says like, took Nacho for a walk, such a beautiful day, love you, and like a little heart.
And so he definitely grabs that, and he would probably know where she would go for that.
While you grab the note and start to run with purpose, like you do know where she's going, we're going to flash back to the group. What are you guys doing?
We're forming orderly lines in a sort of serpentine American Airlines type thing.
It's going to be rough.
And it's totally rough because Fracture and I are doing it because Striped Eagle and all of the other heroes know that they need to keep the people calm and they need to, you know,
be authoritative figures.
Yes, and they're trying to save as many people as they can. Yeah. And Fracture and I are pretty much the only two people aware that, like,
you're going through the motions.
Yeah, this is,
yeah,
this is busy work at the moment.
Yeah, for sure. And John?
So John was there when they caught Windshear up on the whole situation. So he kind of knows that Fracture is like, he's gotten the sense that Fracture knows him and that they know something about all of this. And so John is going to find a moment when Alina is off, like helping line people up with Striped Eagle, and turn to Fracture and just kind of say, is this really a good idea? Like, these people are all, like, we can't just unload a whole world's worth of people on another world. Like, that's going to go bad, right? Like, that sucks that these people are here. But, like, we can't save everyone. Like, that'll mess up some other world, right?
I mean, at most, you have, like, half a second to jump through the tear. There's no way this many people are going to make it through. As is, we're going to have to stick real close together to get a few of us through.
But even if...
And the tears aren't predictable. You know, I know where one will be, and that's the one I jump.
But even if we could get everyone through, like, that would just put a whole bunch of people from a different time in our time.
There would be mass chaos, and it just doesn't, it's not logical. I've been through this so many times, and it's heartbreaking every single time. But the important thing is to make sure that you get out, because your heroes and your time needs you. Where'd that other guy go?
I am telling you, I am looking at my sheet and I am figuring out how I am doing this. This is going to happen. I've got this. It's going to take some good rolling. We get an exterior shot of their apartment, and the glass of the second floor window just shatters outward, because mm-hmm. it would take way too long to go down the stairs. And Windshear at this point has his mask just pulled off entirely. And he's like shouting. He's shouting the names of his family members and shouting at people, like neighbors in the street, and like shouting to go down to the square. Because mm-hmm. he doesn't know. He clearly doesn't know. Not everyone's getting, like, you know, he's getting as many people as he can. But he's then just sprinting full tilt to get to.
Is he running or flying?
He can't fly.
Is he floating?
He's making
windsurfing.
Like, he's making huge leaps and uh-huh. kind of like using like parkour and bursts of huge air. So like it's not smooth. Like, it's like he jumps in the air and gets hit with like hurricane gust winds that like fling him forward 25 feet, and like he rolls on the ground and is up again and is sprinting forward as fast as he can. There's like a park that his wife tends to go to walk around with Ignacio, and he's just heading there as quickly as he can.
Okay.
Which my guess is an unleash your powers. One last thing, actually. I'm going to use a couple of moves right now.
Go ahead.
First off, there's the move Game Face.
Yep.
When you commit yourself to save someone or defeat a terrible enemy, mark a condition and take +1 ongoing in all roles to directly pursue that goal.
Okay.
And I'm going to mark Afraid.
Makes sense.
And I'm going to save my wife. I guess, actually, I technically need to say one of them. And I'm going to save my child.
Yeah.
You're
going to try. You're going to try to save your child.
I'm going to Game Face. I'm doing it. And if I do anything that is not in pursuit of doing that, then I mark conditions. But so, I also die with the world ending.
Right.
And then I'm also, once per session, you can affirm either your superheroic or secret identity to switch your mundane with your mask's label. I'm mask off because right now I am Windshear.
Yeah.
And like, I'm not Windshear because I'm wearing the mask.
Yeah.
I'm Windshear because I am running down the street faster than anyone should physically be able to to solve this.
So you haven't seen her yet. She is in the park somewhere, but you haven't seen her yet. We are at like 99 at this point. Striped Eagle went looking for you.
Okay.
Once you were gone.
Yeah.
And of course, she found you pretty quickly.
Yeah.
And she's going to kind of fly down where she sees you running. And you don't stop running and she doesn't stop flying, obviously. Mm-hmm. And she's running, she's flying alongside you and she's saying, Ramon, we need you.
She know who
he's not wearing a mask.
Because I'm masked
off. But does she know who that is?
I'm friends with her kids.
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Ramon, I know. And I also know that not everybody is going to make it out of here. I know that I might not make it out of here. I know that my kids might not make it out of here. But Ramon, you are a hero. You are a hero and you need to get out of here. I will take care of your family the same way I will take care of my family. I can get there faster. I can take care of them better. I have resources. I will take care of them. I will make sure that they are safe.
Is she shifting my labels?
Yeah. Yes. She's saying that you are... She's upping your savior, and moving down your mundane.
My savior just went to +3 because I affirmed my mask.
Oh.
So I'm going to be rejecting her influence.
That's fine. Go ahead.
Oh,
shit.
So you didn't.
That is a 4. So on a 4 to reject someone's
I think you
influence,
mark a condition, right?
Because I mark a condition. And the GM will adjust my labels.
I moved your danger up 1 and your mundane down.
Cool. Definitely, like, we get a panel that shows Ramon's face and shows him knowing that he is, and that's why guilty is knowing that he isn't being enough of a hero to do what Striped Eagle is doing and putting aside the mundane things. And so I think then we get a shot where he goes, just help me or get out of my way. And he's just going to, like, burst himself up into the air and just, like, hurl himself upward to try to get a view of where she might be so that he can, like, hurl him. Like, he's not flying, but hurling himself up in the air like a cannonball.
So we see a panel of 99 on not one watch, but many, many watches, like, scattered all over the page are a bunch of these watch faces. And you're sort of on the ground right now, towards the ground, or are you flying at this point?
I'm hurling myself up in the air, which I think might be an Unleash Your Powers.
Yeah. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. So I rolled a 3.
Yeah.
So Windshear just puts his hands down and it just bursts like with everything he's got and just hurls his body up into the air. And I rolled a 3, so I'm guessing that's like totally out of control. And he's just like flailing, trying to get a sight of anything.
If he is up in the air and like kind of flailing from where John is on the road nearby, we said it was pretty close, he is going to turn and see you and kind of have, he has all of Federico's memories really fresh in his mind. And so like he is seeing you and he has that kind of like duel. He sees you as the Windshear that he knows from the future, but also as like the nephew that Federico sees you as. And so John is going to run at the full speed that he can and throw himself up to try to grab Windshear and hopefully land in a way that is more controlled than the way that Windshear seems to be flying right now. And so I'd like to try to defend him.
Yeah. Go ahead. Roll to defend.
And that's definitely, that's a move right there because he does not want to be stopped from doing anything.
So that's 6, 7, 8, 9, 12 on a 10 plus, which is what I got. I keep them safe and I choose 1 and I'm going to choose to take influence over Windshear, I think.
Nice. And you guys sort of land pretty gracefully back right next to, you know, the area where everybody was congregated. Striped Eagle isn't there anymore. Phyllis and Philip are nowhere to be seen. They're running around somewhere trying to save people because they also don't know.
Yeah, I was trying to jump up and catch you and then land you safely because you looked like you weren't going to land safely.
But there was a lot of propulsion behind that jump and it just got redirected. So you guys came kind of shooting back in the other direction. Okay. And as we're seeing this, we see the clock hit 100. And now those little sparkly visions are very apparent. It's it's almost as if the artist is peeling part of the ink back and you're seeing white page, but it's got like this sparkly threaded edge. And Fracture grabs hold of Arcana like their life depends on it and says, get everybody now. And Arcana, you're going to reach out your hand, and who do you grab?
John.
And John is already holding on to Windshear.
Yeah.
And Fracture is just going to jump. And as they jump, they pull all of you through. And it's not the gravitational force of the first vortex. This is just an easy, clean glide. It's like gravity comes out from beneath you. You're no longer tied to anything. And it's almost as if the page just slides past you. You didn't move. Everything just moved past you through this white space. And as you're gliding through this white space, you, Arcana, feel Fracture holding your hand. And they pick your hand up to their lips and just kiss it tenderly. I'm going to leave you this time, but I'll see you soon. And then they sort of just gently direct you in another direction, and you start to see a dark shadow that would indicate like some sort of something in the distance, and you just keep on that trajectory. Fracture is gone. You don't know where they've gone, and you are now at the head of this little chain of humans, and you glide through, and it opens up in Main Street Protean City 2018.
And I punch Puck as hard as I can.
Protean City Comics is a production of the Stop, Hack, and Roll podcast network. It is produced and edited by James Malloy. This episode was emceed by me, Elsbeth Denman, and I can be found on Twitter at The Cat on the Wall. Puck is played by James Malloy, who can be found on Twitter at AndTheMeltdowns. Arcana is played by Jess Benini, who can be found on Twitter at HerlockHolmes1. Windshear is played by Brandon Leon Gambetta, who can be found on Twitter at Dr. Captain Cobalt. The introduction is voiced by Peter DiGilio. All music was composed by Jim Malloy. Masks, A New Generation is a game by Brendan Conway and published by Magpie Games. This podcast is created thanks to the financial support of backers at patreon.com/stophackandroll. Join us on our Discord at discord.stophackandroll.com. Follow us on Twitter at Protean City and on Instagram at Protean City Comics. Subscribe to Protean City Comics on iTunes or anywhere podcasts are found. Join us next Wednesday to find out what thrilling adventures lie ahead.